It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello there, boppers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosie. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is the man who provided the air drums for warm-up for today's show.
Yep.
That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello.
With his Pacers warm-up.
That's right.
He does shoot-around before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited to face the Heat.
Yep.
Glad
we finally made it.
We?
As basketball fans, the basketball community.
Pacer Nation.
Have made it to, not just Pacer Nation, but I mean all the sports media outlets and analysts and commentators and everything have talked all year long about, oh, we're going to see the Pacers and the Heat in the conference finals again, and it's what everybody's been waiting for.
And here it is.
And
game
now
one,
we're here.
Game one Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
That's right. Well, at least they rested against the Bucks.
There was that.
All right. Well. Okay, sports portion of the film show is done.
Red Wings are done. Pistons have hired.
Pistons have
Stan Van Gundy.
Can't do any worse.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see. I mean,
technically, you could.
Well, yeah, you could. But the revolving door of coaches have not been that great. And Dumars got a lot of years out of that 04 title, and it finally stopped. So,
you know, thanks, Joe, but
you got the goal.
We're good.
We're good. Yeah. So I got, we have the Detroit Tigers to follow.
Yes.
So I will do that. All right.
So there's that.
There is that. And there's the Richmond Shakespeare Festival, June 6th through the 15th, which is happening at the old, Star Jeanette Mansion. Not mansion. Sorry. I say that again. It's the Star Jeanette Factory down in the Gorge in Richmond, Indiana. Go to Richmond Shakes on Twitter and RichmondShakespeareFestival.org. And make sure it's Indiana, not Virginia. That, my friend, would be a hell of a commute. But June 6th through the 15th, you can see The Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, as well as the romantic comedy, one of the original romantic comedies, not involving Kate Hudson, That's Much Ado About Nothing. So that is out there. Mark your calendars. All right, opening in theaters today, we have Belle, which I read, Kobe, a little bit of a description of it, according to Roger Moore. Not that Roger Moore. That was a Wire review in the Not Nouveau. That it sounds like a film that Kobe's Fair Sweet Bianca and Fair Sweet Bianca's mom would go see
mm-hmm.
while Kobe's staying at home. Costume drama.
Yep.
So. Also opening in theaters today, Million Dollar Arm, which is the first starring vehicle for Jon Hamm.
Oh, yes.
Yes. The Sosies are going to be seeing that on Sunday.
Cause, I kind of like to see that, too.
We like Jon Hamm, mm-hmm. and we like him a lot. He's very cool, and really enjoy him on Mad Men. And he has been doing it right, because he had supporting roles in films like
Bridesmaids.
Well, he had a cameo in Bridesmaids. Yeah, very fun opening scene with Bridesmaids. He had a really good bit in The Town. He was also in, had really nothing to do with, nothing to do in The Day the Earth Stood Still many years back. But he's been building up. And so this is his big starring vehicle, based on a true story, like every other film, where he plays a sports agent who decides to find a cricket player from India and get him into Major League Baseball. So Alan Arkin is involved with this film, as is Lake Bell. Heard a really fun interview with Lake Bell on Q last night. I'm sure you can go to the archive page of Q and listen to that. So anyway, so yeah, you can check that out. And, of course, Mad Men's still on Sunday nights on AMC.
Mm-hmm. Couple more weeks.
Couple more weeks for the first half. You think it's a Harry Potter split or Hunger Games split, and now Mad Men's doing it. Yeah. It's a good thing we don't split shows.
Don't really.
Although you can hear this Sundays at 4, and maybe, just maybe, someday, ladies and gentlemen, we, and I actually do mean we, the royal we, might actually do a separate show, not this one, on a Sunday. And if you hear it and you send us a note at WFYI.org or at Matthew Sosi or at Kobe Slagle, you might get a package of a prize package courtesy of Film Sociology.
That's right.
But you got to listen. And sometimes you got to listen in Sundays at 4 to see if it's the same show.
Yep.
You never know.
Also,
yes.
Since while we're here.
Yes, we're here for the whole hour. I am, at least.
Actually, you know what? We'll touch on that later.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It's okay if it does.
It is not opening this weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that. Also opening is the film God's Pocket. Speaking of Mad Men, this is it's Philip Seymour Hoffman's final performance,
full performance.
Correct. And it also has Christina Hendricks, Richard Jenkins, and it's directed by everyone's second favorite person at Mad Men, Mr. Sterling, Roger Sterling. No, it's. Sorry, it's terrible. And now we I guess there's a big film that opened today. Oh, John Slattery, by the way. It's not Roger Sterling. But there was a big blockbuster movie opening today. We're going to start with the smaller film that I preferred more. Cuz that's how the show, you know what it is? Edgy.
You are bending the rules now.
Oh boy. But you know what? Like in all cop films, I get results.
You do get results. Right. Buckle in. This is going to be a rough one.
So we have the new film from Tom Hardy, and it's called Lock. And this is from the writer of Dirty Pretty Things and Eastern Promises, two excellent films involving crime in two different ways. But it's I'll let you listen to it. It sounds like a gimmick film. It's far from that. So here's the trailer.
Love her, my predicament. Make one little mistake, and the whole world comes crashing down on her.
Hi, love.
I need you to hold it together for me.
What happened?
I'll fix it. It'll all go back to normal. No matter what the situation is, you can make it good.
This is a joke to you.
No. Right now, nothing is a joke anymore. You make one little mistake. Eventually, cracks appear.
I'm not believing it.
I was 23 years old. Cracks appear.
Listen to me, you piece of worthless.
Don't threaten me!
And they will grow. I will do what needs to be done.
Has that action movie pulse,
mm-hmm.
But it's not an action movie. In fact, if you see the trailer, it kind of gives off the vibe that it's a psychological thriller, and it's not that. And at the very end with the action film heartbeat, which is, again, very deceptive, there's a scene with him in a car. Well, that's the whole film, really. And there's these truck lights that flash on behind him, which, you know, looking at the trailer, seems a little intimidating. That moment happens at the very beginning of the film. This film is pretty much Tom Hardy in a car. He's in a BMW. And it's one of those, of course, you can talk on the phone while driving. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got three situations going on. He works as a, I'm trying to remember the exact title, but he's a construction manager who is about ready to lay concrete on what is supposed to be one of the biggest building job in England. And it's the night before the concrete laying, and he's driving out of town. And, of course, he has to deal with everybody from the job site of his life, job part of his life. And then he gets in touch with his wife, and he's got two sons. And he's got to tell his wife that he's not coming home right away. And he has to deal with the family portion of his life. And the reason why Tom Hardy's in this car all this long is he had a fling with a woman who was about ready to give birth to the child that they wound up creating. And all three of these come into play while Tom Hardy is in a car. So it's more, like I said, it's more than Tom Hardy in a car, partially because, one, it is the filmmaker, Stephen Knight, is able to, the film is only 85 minutes long, and it's perfectly timed. He pulls as much as you can out of it, so it's not just a camera of him on a car. There's a few different angles. There's enough of getting out of the car and into the road, even split screen, that's used really well and keeps you engaged. The other thing, Ed Johnson and I were at the press screening for this last week, earlier this week, and also the fact that the road, the highway, and the outer world itself is not used as a plot device. It is all about what Tom Hardy's character is going to do involving his job, his family, and this fling that he had, and she's about ready to give birth to his child. And as time goes on, we find out a little bit more of Hardy's character, his history, which, if you read Ed's review of this film in Nouveau, is very good. It's the one thing he said that kept it from being a perfect film. That doesn't bother me. And there's a little bit of Hardy kind of talking to himself. I don't want to give too much away on that, but that didn't bother me on this. But for something being just him in a car, they do a hell of a job keeping engaged, and I think it's a very thrilling film.
Very well shot, then.
Very well shot. And the other, you know, Chris Lloyd and I have talked before about how 127 Hours became known as the James Franco cuts his arm off film, and it's more than that. And then there was a film called Buried, featuring not your guy Ryan Reynolds, buried in a box underground. I know you didn't do it. I know you'd want to do it, but that was also, and so it's not as claustrophobic as that, but it was really, really fun to watch this film. And, Tom Hardy, the guy's already had a hell of a career, and he's, 30? Yeah, he's, 37 years old and still going. And of course, the snarky thing is, between his work in the Christopher Nolan films and films like Lawless, you can actually understand what he's saying in this one. Also, the fact that it looks like we can't verify this, Hardy is one of those guys that changes his appearance. I think puts on weight, takes off weight, bulks up. If you saw a film like when he played Bane, or in the film Warrior, and it looked like he put on weight for this, and you only at the most see him from the shoulders up in the car. So, but yeah, this was a fun, I'm saying it's a fun ride of a film. I believe Ed Johnson called the film a doozy, and it definitely is that. So don't think of this film as a gimmick. Go check it out. It is, it's a really, really solid one-man performance from Tom Hardy. Also, and I wish I could remember all the voices. I know Olivia Colman, Ruth Wilson, and a few other actors who provide the voices of the people that he talks to on the phone. They are credited in the film as well. Really good job of that. This is one of those, when it comes out on Blu-ray, I want to see how they shot it and, you know, if the actors were there when they were recording his, you know, the phone conversations. It's just a lot of fun. Very suspenseful, very gripping. And that's saying a lot when the film is, for the most part, inside a car and driving. Do you have a thing there?
Yes, 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 yes.
And Tracy Foreigner, our guy from Indie Style.
Okay.
Yes, and who admitted to on my page saying that he's got a serious man crush on Tom Hardy, and I guess that's absolutely justified. The guy is very cool. He's a good person, to quote Wesley Willis. So, going back, I wanted to look back at his previous work because I think for the most part, most people got to know him because of Dark Knight Rises. In the art house world, he got known for a film called Bronson, where it's a famous prisoner in England. So, but I was wanting to go through what he was in because for a while he was that guy. He was that guy from Bronson. He was that guy. He was also in Inception and Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy and Warrior. It was fun because one of our peers who comes to these screenings all the time didn't recognize him. So I mentioned Bane, I mentioned Warrior, but she knew him from the Chris Pine, Reese Witherspoon romantic comedy, This Means War. Has Bianca forced that on you?
No, I have not seen that.
That's okay. Two guys who use their spy intelligence to stalk on Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, yes, yes.
Stalky. Creepy.
No.
That's okay. So I went back, and the first credit he received was in 2001 with the miniseries Band of Brothers. And I started going through it, and it's one of those, oh yeah, he was in that. I wouldn't have known that. And now I want to go back maybe with some of these films and check those out. He was in Black Hawk Down, in Star Trek Nemesis, in The Reckoning, Dot the I, which was a drama I know I didn't like, Layer Cake with Daniel Craig. Going back, Marie Antoinette, the Sofia Coppola film, Sucker Punch, which I really don't want to remember, Rock and Rolla, which was a fun crime film with Tandy Newton and Gerard Butler, Bronson I already mentioned, he did Wuthering Heights, so Bianca's probably seen him. She's a really good sport. Inception, of course, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Warrior, This Means War, Lawless, Dark Knight Rises, of course, Locke, which we just talked about, and apparently it's in post-production, but he's playing Mad Max in a new version of the series called Mad Max Fury Road. So, Tom Hardy, keep on whooping yourself. Very good stuff. Anyway, a lot of fun. One of the better films, and I think this is one that a few of the critics will be talking about at the end of the year. Yeah, it's that good.
Cool.
It will hopefully have that much legs between now and December.
It'll have that much tires.
That's very funny.
That was bad.
Dun, 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 dun. But just, it seems like there's been a lot of press screenings in the morning, which, as somebody who's acting in a play, I really want more morning screenings so I can, because all of my nights are taken by rehearsal. But this has been, I think I've said this the last few weeks, and it just keeps adding to the evidence that this has been one of the best springs for film in a long time. Not necessarily in the...
That's because March is the new Memorial Day, according to Chris Lloyd.
Yeah. Oh, he said that?
Yeah, he said that a couple years ago about Oz the Great and Powerful.
And summer blockbuster seasons apparently started... Well, some would say it started with Spider-Man 2. Some would say it started with Captain America.
Divergent.
Oh, yeah, Divergent. So, well, sure. But Tim's Vermeer, Jodorowsky's Dune, Grand Budapest Hotel, this film... La Weekend. I know Ed was a big fan of the film Lunchbox. So it's been...
Oh, yes.
So those films have really helped move us along, and now we're up for blockbuster season. So now we'll get to the big PG-13 monster movie, Godzilla. It's 60 years ago, no, 50 years ago, that the original Godzilla film, the original Japanese version, not the Hollywoodized one where they shoved in scenes with Raymond Burr, but we have a new version of it, and it's got some familiar voices and familiar faces getting a check and sweating good. So, Kobe, I think we want you to break down.
Let's
you better break
down this.
The Godzilla trailer. Pults.
I want to talk to somebody in charge.
Again,
plot things.
You're not fooling anybody when you say that what happened was a natural disaster.
Electronic riff.
You're lying.
You're lying.
It was not an earthquake. It wasn't a typhoon.
It was a Godzilla!
Because what's really happening is that you're hiding something out there.
Out where?
There.
Ominous sounds.
And it is going to send us back to the Stone Age!
Catchphrase.
Flintstones.
God help us all.
Terror.
Pulse. Not 2001 vocalization.
In 1954, we awakened something.
Well, there's nuclear tests in the Pacific. Not tests.
They were trying to kill it.
Christian doing ethereal sounds. To a big reveal of a monster.
You have no idea what's coming.
Threat.
Can you kill it?
Because it makes electronic sounds.
So man is thinking nature is in our control.
Philosophy.
And not the other way around.
Guitar riff. Oh.
Firecrackers.
Missed it. Not a lot going on here.
You were saying...
Oh, yes, this is our crescendoing, yeah. Okay.
And as Roger Moore put in his Wire review that you can read in the Non Nouveau, it's in his third paragraph, Kobe. Oh, no, there goes Tokyo. Fail. The only thing this film really had to accomplish was erase the memory of the Roland Emmerich Godzilla film from the late 90s. And it does.
The one with
Matthew Broderick.
Puff Daddy and...
Yeah. Oh, yes. The Puff Daddy Jimmy Page collaboration.
Yes. Oh, Jimmy Page was on that too?
Yeah. Come to Me was a riff of Kashmir.
Oh, yeah.
Don't look that up.
No, I forgot. I forgot they sampled that.
Put a worm in your ear.
It wasn't really Jimmy. It was a sample.
No, it was Page. Page was actually a part of that. Look it up.
Like he
you can look
it
up,
again.
But, you can look it up, but don't listen to it. That's all this film really had to do, and it achieves that. Yes, and the thing. So let me. Some of the voices you heard. There are some heavy hitters in this film. We have some Oscar winners and nominees in this film. You have, well, the big voice you heard at the beginning is Bryan Cranston. You have Ken Watanabe, Elizabeth Olsen, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Sally Hawkins, Juliette Binoche. So you have one, two. Three Oscar nominees, one Oscar winner, and Bryan Cranston, who I think has won some Emmys for Breaking Bad, and you know, the talented of the Olsen trio, and Kick-Ass. There's your cast. And, of course, Godzilla, of course. Am I right? Did you look it up?
Yeah. I thought they just...
They got Jimmy Page out of the mothballs and strapped a guitar on him and just said, play Kashmir. Who's that guy? It's not Robert Plant. No, Jimmy Page is not an old daft person. He's okay. But yeah, that collaboration. Oh, so, Kobe, forget about that. We're talking about this. Okay. The thing that makes Godzilla, this Godzilla work, is the fact that it's taken totally seriously. There's some moments that'll make you grin, but there's no... I think the... catchphrase, the tagline for the Roland Emmerich Godzilla was "Size Matters." None of that in this. No Blue Oyster Cult. No homages or winks to the not the original Godzilla, but the sequels. That was the other thing. Is, you know, this very well could be the best Godzilla film since the original. unless you're really, really into him fighting King Kong and the Smog Monster. Well, anyway, so it's the material's taken seriously, and the actors take it seriously. And I always giggle when I see really established actors working in disaster movies or big summer blockbusters. The example I always use is Chiwetel Ejiofor in 2012. It just looks like he is really sweating it to be in this film, as silly as it was. Bryan Cranston, who, by the way, he's been getting a lot of FaceTime in the trailers. Without giving away a whole lot, he's got an and credit. So take, if you know casting and storytelling, you know what that means. And he's in the film married to Juliette Binoche. Way to go, Bri. They play scientists in Japan, and of course, prior to this is set 15 years ago, that they find a fossil, and of course, the fossil is awakened, and it has to mate and take over the Earth. And there's only one thing that will stop these creatures from taking over the world. Yeah, GZ. So,
GZ.
You just got that. I know.
Okay. So, okay. So GZ's on their side, or what?
No. Yes, and okay. So
GZ's a good guy.
I don't think that's really a spoiler alert, because it turned out to be Godzilla turned out to be a good guy in when he was fighting King Kong and the Smog Monster and Mechagodzilla and all those. It has everything that you want from a Godzilla movie. You know, the discovery. You have the thing is when you have these names. And by the way, also Academy Award nominee David Strathairn is in this. He plays the Navy command, you know, the head naval officer. Because apparently Sam Shepard and Sam Elliott were unavailable, you know, to play the gruff, silver-haired intimidator. But you have the elements. You have the family that gets broken up. That's Taylor Johnson and Olsen. You have science versus the military. That's Watanabe and David Strathairn. And also Sally Hawkins. She's also a scientist. You have, of course, the destruction of a city. Not Tokyo, but this time San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, my joke is, and it sounds like an old Richard Pryor bit, the monsters don't spend a whole lot of time in Oakland. Too scary. And fortunately, what I've seen in this film, the Castro district is spared. So that's good. But the other thing with the film is, and you see this in the trailer. What's Kobe, you've heard me yammer on about this as far as big action films. What's the one thing I really want when I see a big action film, or especially a big action film involving monsters?
I don't know.
You didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
I set you up there.
That's all right. If you're going to have Godzilla fighting two creatures.
Oh yes, it's not. You know, hit them and then they fly 100 feet because they're too.
Well, besides,
both,
yeah, that was the problem with Man of Steel, but I want to see it. Don't give me Michael Bay close ups or Roland Emmerich close ups. Let's, you know, back in the '60s and seventies, it was Rick Baker in a Godzilla suit. Pummeling some other guy in a rubber suit, not with a rubber hose. The one complaint that people have had about this film, I did not have this complaint. You can hear David Edelstein's review of this on Fresh Air. I liked it more than he did. Is not enough Godzilla. And that's like saying not enough Jaws. I think there's enough of it in here. I think now because people are familiar with the concept, they wanted more Godzilla. That doesn't happen here. It takes its time. When it gets to the big fight scene, when it comes to tearing down San Francisco, the film really delivers. I didn't see it in 3D. I don't think you need to see it in 3D. I don't think I need to see San Francisco building parts flying in front of your face. Not Oakland.
No.
Too scary. So you have the fight scenes, and I'm sure some people are going to want more. Usually, when I see a disaster movie like this, or a horror, or you know, a big monster movie like this, the human element, you almost want to push it aside. It's almost like a slasher film where you just want to get to the big stuff. You want to get to the big fights, but because you have names like Aaron Taylor Johnson, Ken Watanabe, Elizabeth Olsen, Sally Hawkins, Bryan Cranston, Juliette Binoche, David Strathairn, they bring a little bit of depth, And the whole, you have Cranston loses his wife, Juliette Binoche, to an accident. And his son is grows up to be Aaron Taylor Johnson, who thinks his dad is a lunatic. He's kind of become one of those conspiracy theorists, and has to pick his dad up out of jail in Tokyo. And then that's when Godzilla things happen.
Big lizard things,
and lizard fighting things. But you also have. Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson are married. They have a child, and of course, they get separated. So there's the, you know, anyway. Usually, when you see feelings and relationships, I guess, in an action movie, you either want to go get more popcorn or go to the bathroom. And that's not really the case in this. This is not. It's acceptable on that part. And what happens with Aaron Taylor Johnson's character at the end of the film, I was ready for it to go one way and it went another, and I wasn't disappointed by that either. So the fact is, I actually like the human aspect of this action, big giant monster movie, and of course I like the monster part of the big giant monster movie. This will be a fun double feature, I think, with Pacific Rim, which was the underappreciated Guillermo del Toro film from last year. But you have all the elements.
That was just last year?
It was last year. That was the best film of last summer. Easily.
I thought that was a couple years ago.
No, I don't think so. Double check, see if I'm wrong.
In case I'm wrong.
It happens.
All right.
It happens. So.
Now, there you go, 2013. Yep.
So I was.
You were right.
I was
correct. Yes.
This time. So anyway. Apparently is a visual effects artist turned director, Gareth Edwards, who did a film called Monsters a couple years back and got out of this. Anyway, the treatment of the material, the actors getting as much as they can out of their characters, and some good fight scenes. A satisfying summer movie.
Interesting.
Now that was a good movie.
Not as good as Locke, but a good movie nonetheless. And of course, far, far better from the Roland Emmerich film. You know, no puns, no humor. There's a couple things actually that do happen. There's a moment that involves Las Vegas. And if you've been to a casino. You've
yes.
been to a Vegas casino.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because you thought you were Danny Ocean. It's tough when you're actually I'm gonna let you decide between if you were Scott Kahn or Casey Affleck.
Or Casey Affleck.
I unfortunately am Elliot Gould with slightly more hair. but there's a bit going on in a casino where, you know, of course, everybody is focused on their gambling, and then on a big TV screen is monsters invading Las Vegas. The other thing that doesn't happen, and I'm really grateful it doesn't, is at the end of the film, there's another giant TV screen, and it's a news channel that says, I know I'm not going to word it correctly, but it's, you know, Godzilla, our savior, with a question mark. If they, I'm really thankful this film doesn't have any representation of the media. It's not Sam Jackson doing RoboCop. You know, there's not somebody doing a right-wing or a left-wing television nut mm-hmm. jobs screaming about,
yeah,
you know, Godzilla is symbolic of this, or he's, you know, we must take him down, that sort of thing. It could have gone a lot more broad. It doesn't. So a grown-up monster movie. Check it out.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Okay.
So you might be able to drag. You think Ferris Wheat Bianca? No.
I don't know. I don't know until before hearing you talk about it, I was not into it at all.
And now, well,
maybe
mission accomplished. You'll add it to the list.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Not necessarily the watch list, but the maybe list.
Maybe.
It's good to be on the maybe list.
But as we were talking about before, wanted to bring to the attention of everybody listening, everybody tuned in,
mm-hmm.
not opening this weekend, but we're just a couple weeks away now that we are pretty much the middle of May. We are in the middle of May. Midnight Movies, the summer season at Keystone
yes,
Landmark
very good, very
is
good.
Upon us starting June 6th and 7th with Back to the Future. So
that's a couple
weeks away.
That's a good one. That's a, you know what? I saw all three in the theater. And even Emma has inquired about Back to the Future. So that'll be a good one. They usually get one or two 80s films, and there's a few 80s films in this list.
Yeah,
I know. Clue is in there.
Yeah, we got Clue, we got The Princess Bride, Back to the Future, but Raiders.
It was the theater shooting. It was right when Dark Knight came out. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming onto this very show and telling people to go to a movie, whether it's Dark Knight Rises or anything. You know, just kind of don't be scared by this. And I was going to put my money where my mouth is. And I went and saw Ghostbusters at midnight.
Oh, yes.
And I hadn't seen that in a theater, obviously, in 20 years almost. And that was a lot of fun. So anyway, yes, Back to the Future. That's the weekend of the 6th. And then that's followed up by?
June 13th and 14th, The Big Lebowski.
See, that's the... I've already talked to the Shakespeare people, and yeah, we're kind of bummed we're missing that weekend. So partially, that's why we had a little Lebowski fest at the house last Friday.
I'm a Lebowski, you're a Lebowski, what can I do for
Employed? You? And no, this show will not turn into Lebowski quotes until 6 o'clock, or 5 o'clock if it's Sundays. It could, but it won't. And by the way, Emma also enjoyed it. So,
which is very,
and
cool.
She was not drinking White Russians or wearing a robe. Everybody else were, just not her. Anyway, so that's the second weekend, and then
June 20th and 21st, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Excellent choice. Got to see that on the big screen.
27th and 28th, The Return of the Room,
which I am inflicting upon the Richmond Shakespeare people tonight at my house.
Awesome.
Yes.
July 4th and 5th, Independence Day weekend, Jaws.
You have seen that or you have not?
I have seen Jaws.
Has Bianca?
I don't know.
Group trip. Well, that and The Room. Yeah, Bianca's been to The Room.
Yeah,
of course.
We
got to find somebody new to drag to this.
We're taking the cousin-in-laws out. They've seen it. They've seen it. They've not gone out to.
That's a good. Ladies and gentlemen, as a public service announcement. Hi, Matthew Soce, Film Sociology.
Hi, I'm Matthew Soce.
And I'm here with Kobe Slagle. And we want to tell you that if you're going to watch The Room, you should really watch The Room at home first so you can find out all the stories and intricacies and eccentricities of
one. Do some research on your own.
And then see it with an audience.
And you can see it with an audience June 27th and 28th at Keystone Landmarks Theater, at Keystone at the Fashion Mall, at Keystone at the Crossing.
The more you know.
Brought to you by Film Sociology.
And, following into the rest of the schedule.
July 11th to 12th, Silence of the Lambs. Gonna miss that one.
Oh,
July
come
18th.
On.
Nope.
Wait,
nope.
You have not seen that, right?
Nope.
Oh, come on. I'll be there.
Yeah, and so will a bunch of other people. That don't mean I want to see it.
Oh,
it don't mean just because the theater's packed that it makes it easier to watch.
It's, oh gosh. Would it help you if I told you your radio sister might be going?
No.
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 Fine. All right, I gave it a shot.
July 18th and 19th, Clue, and then wrapping up Midnight Movies at Keystone Landmark Theater this summer season, July 25th and 26th, The Princess Bride. Two of.
Marriage. So, yeah, we might do the...
That's a good list.
That is a very good list. That's a good, fun midnight list.
Mm-hmm.
The IMA. Do we have the IMA list?
Not right now, but I can get it.
Why don't we take a break? We'll re-review the IMA list. We'll talk about what is on DVD and Blu-ray, and we have dead people we like, because we don't have time for dead people we
don't
like.
If I remember correctly, there's a pretty big one this week, right?
There's a couple of note.
Yes.
So you'll see. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Tyler.
And thank you, Wesley. Yes, where else at Film Sociology where you could hear back-to-back Wesley Willis and Tyler Hansborough?
I don't know Nowhere. Anywhere else you could find that.
You know what this is? Your pledge dollars at work. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. Actually, speaking of Wesley, if you go to the Onion's AV Club section, a fine assortment of entertainment writing, real entertainment writing, not the jokey news stuff. Mm-hmm. Although they did have an article from Bloomington.
Yes, I saw that.
Yep.
That was a good one.
And by the way, as a reminder, you have to look for yourself. Don't be the one that throws the half full cup of drink into the
trash. Can.
Somebody's got to clean that up. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to take care of that. Anyway, every Friday in the AV Club, they have a section called Ask the AV Club. And somebody will submit a question, and then the writing staff of the AV Club will answer individually. And then, of course, there'll be about 2,000 reader responses. If you have time to read reader responses, more power to you. But this week's question was, what is a pop culture deal maker? Not a deal breaker, because they already had that question. And the banner, the visual banner for the article, which is now the banner on my Facebook page, is one Wesley Willis. If Wesley were alive, we would ask him to be the house band for Film Sociology, but sadly he is not. And I don't think we could afford him, really. He was a rock star.
I bet, oh man.
What?
How great that would have been to talk to Wesley about movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we heard an interview with him on Stern, so when he was alive, obviously, because mm-hmm. an interview with him dead would be not possible.
Yeah.
But I think we wouldn't have to edit as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if you look up Wesley Willis's work, and we highly recommend you buy his albums. Some of the songs, a lot of the songs, not for radio play. And, I had to cut out one word from the Lock trailer. I wouldn't want to spend hours trying to work out. Anyway, it sounded like he would have been fine. So, okay. I want to get to, there's only three titles of note that are on, that are new on DVD and Blu-ray. Going through the old titles, it looks like stuff that has already been available. They're just repackaging it. I think there's yet another Oceans collection on Blu-ray.
Really?
Don't you already have that?
I have them all individually. I don't have a box or anything, but what is this?
It's probably just, I think it's just the three films in a box. That's all I can guess.
All right, I'm on it.
So you can look and see if there's any special additional
yes.
bells and whistles. Okay. Actually, while you were doing that, I was going to have you queue up the... this is a segment we've not had in a while. This is the Where Were You segment. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that.
Sorry. On-air coaching. this is a segment we've not had on, and we haven't had it on for a while, and this is where an exceptional film didn't get a big enough audience, in my opinion. And this was one in particular. This one in particular because it got a number of Academy Award nominations. It even won a major award as opposed to...
Where were you?
Where were you?
Only had to cut one word out of that one. But the big title on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and it was, I believe, the runner-up of the Indiana Film Journalists Association. I believe it was Ed Johnson Ott's number one pick for Film of the Year. I believe Chris Lloyd's number one pick for Film of the Year. And since I was a little late to the game, it was my number two film of the year, and that's Spike Jonze's Her, with Joaquin Phoenix and the voice of Scarlett Johansson. Spike Jonze's work, Where the Wild Things Are, being John Malkovich, Adaptation, and of course, Sabotage, the Beastie Boys video, among other things. Phenomenal. He's got his own stamp. And the fact that he made an absolutely engrossing, touching story of a man falling in love with his electronics. But it's more than that. That makes it sound like Raj in love with Siri on Big Bang Theory. It also shows us how needy we are for our electronics, and how much while it gets us more information, it also separates us from the rest of the world. And Joaquin Phoenix is just rock solid in this. It's fun to hear Scarlett Johansson's voice. I now wish all electronics sound like Scarlett Johansson or Nigella Lawson. Either one, that's pretty good. Or Mrs. Soucy. Gotta throw that in there. Yeah. Or Morticia, because you got to see the Addams Family this week.
Yes. Enjoyable. That's cool. Addams Family musical at Clues Hall on the campus of Butler University. Very cool. Highly recommend it.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun, touching film. It was my favorite love story of the year, and now it's out. And you didn't, not enough of you people saw it when it came out in theaters, so now you have no excuse. You should go rent it. Something you should avoid that's also out on DVD and Blu-ray because it opened in January for good reason, Aaron Eckhart in I, Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that one, so you didn't have to. And you don't really want to either.
No.
Yes, the Frankenstein creation as if it were Kane in Kung Fu because it walks the earth and then is brought in to help fight demons and...
Yeah. That exists, but nobody knows exists somehow.
Somehow, and it's trying to...
But there's fights in the streets, and everybody misses this.
And no dancing in the streets.
There will not be any dancing
and
in
no
the streets.
Fighting in the streets, or street fighting man. Yep.
Just an aside here.
Please
nothing
do.
New in the Ocean's Blu-ray trilogy. Three discs... That's
it. Is it in a box?
It is in a box. It is in a cool looking box. But I mean, what are you gonna do?
That's an extra $20, I bet.
Actually, well,
don't say how much it is. You can't.
Right.
Is it? You do the math. So you divide by three. Did you pay that much for those films? Because you bought them separately, right?
Yeah. I actually probably paid more for everything individually than what this is on sale for online.
Okay, then. But you already got it.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. Speaking of...
That would have been so cool. That would have been so cool to see, if there was a bunch of, behind-the-scenes
stuff
with all these people that are in these movies.
Because there were a lot of them.
Yeah. Nothing. Three discs.
We'd love to have the rap party of those films.
Oh, yeah. That'd be killer.
That would be killer. And that would be great if you had a major box set. This one is not. Sad.
Oh, that's a missed opportunity. There.
Yep. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray is the Zac Efron comedy, That Awkward Moment. I didn't see it. I'm sure my buddy Helen did, and she'll give me a full report. So that's really all the titles out on DVD and Blu-ray. Just a reminder, in case people have forgot, IU Cinema's on hiatus.
Until May 22nd, they'll be back.
They got a couple of weeks with the family before they come back to campus.
Yep.
Yes. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. How you doing?
All right, see you later.
How are things at the sim? Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I think I'm just going to hang out for a week, and I'm going to go back down. It's all right.
JoJo Sandwich and Essay are all still down there hanging out. I really want to chill with them.
That's IU Cinema. That's the building itself. Going to Mom and Dad's building.
So, but IU Cinema will be back. Will it be next week? Yeah, actually, it'll be this time next week.
Okay.
They'll be back in business.
By the way, John Vickers, call us.
Mm-hmm. But also coming up the same weekend as the midnight movies at Keystone Landmark is the IMA's Summer Nights series.
Yes, yes, yes. Fill us in. Remind us.
Friday, June 6th, 9:30 p.m. at the IMA Breakfast at Tiffany's, kicking off the series.
You will be there.
You
know Bianca's going to win. Maybe in her dorm room, that poster would have been up.
I bet it would have. Yeah. Actually,
if it was, we'll get to dorm room stuff in a little bit.
Friday the 13th. Excuse me. Easy for me to say.
Easy
Friday
for
the 13th on Friday the 13th.
The original.
Looks like it.
You won't be there.
No, I will not. June 20th, The Jerk.
Interesting. Okay. That's a room weekend, isn't it?
I can't remember.
Sorry.
But June 27th, Friday, June 27th, 9:30 p.m., IMA, The French Connection.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotta go to that.
Yep. July 11th. Let's see. We take a week off for Independence Day weekend. July.
But you can go see Jaws at Landmark.
That's right. Friday, July 11th, 9:30, Vertigo.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've seen that one.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Vertigo is
stalking
excellent.
After Kim Novak.
Hook, the week after, July 18th.
I saw it when I was in college when that came out, and I wasn't thrilled with it. And I got in trouble because I didn't like it, and I said so on HD1. Oh, yeah. I was working the board during Pledge, not this past Pledge break, but the one before. Oh, because here's how it was. Jarrett Moore and I were on together, and we were on during Fresh Air, and Terry Gross had an interview with Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
And one of Hoffman's things that he talks about in the interview was he doesn't like to do films where he handles a gun. He tries to avoid those. Now, that doesn't mean he hasn't done it. He has. Marathon Man, Straight Time, and Hook. And I made reference to the fact that I was not crazy about Hook. And we got a complaint.
And the calls rang in.
A call rang in.
And then
I was informed to keep my film comments to the film show.
Okay.
So, because my opinion of Hook might have lost to some Pledge bucks.
Okay.
Anyway.
So that's July 18th.
Yes.
The next week, July 25th, Flashdance.
I want her apartment. Have you ever seen Flashdance? Has Fair Sweet Bianca inflicted that on you?
I think I've only seen bits and pieces on cable.
Okay, she might want to go to that. You know what? She'll also come in the sweatshirt with the no sleeves.
Friday, August 1st, American Graffiti.
Oh, that's a good one. I showed that to Emma in the winter.
Interesting. The week after, August 8th, IMA is showing Clue.
Why not?
As well, Landmark showing it.
I know, the week before.
Yeah.
Which ending will they have?
Oh.
There are three endings. Ooh.
Ah.
Could it be that the IMA and Landmark are in cahoots?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you might have to check that
okay.
out.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Odd Couple the next week, August 15th.
1968, the original. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Mean Girls.
Uh-oh.
August
Emma.
22nd.
Emma's there.
Yep.
Emma loves Mean
and
Girls.
And rounding out the IMA Summer Night Series, Friday, August 29th at 9:30 p.m., The Godfather.
Ooh, that's going to be a long night.
Mm-hmm.
And you have seen that.
Again, bits and pieces on cable.
We will have to fix that. We will definitely have to fix that. That's a good lineup. So, yeah, I think there might be more than one Sosi, Slagle, and even Sosi, Slagle, Shabazz. We keep threatening for that to happen.
Now, you brought up here. Oh, I said The Jerk, Friday, June 20th. Interesting. Not a fan of The Jerk?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I am.
Okay.
I am.
Just checking.
Nope. I was 9 when that film came out.
Love The Jerk.
Very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Gas pumper.
He hates these cans,
right?
Jerk and Lebowski quotes right here.
That's right.
HD2.
Your pledge dollars at work. All right. I think we should get to Dead People We Like.
Oh, man. See, I was
you
in the middle
you're not
of something.
Ready.
No.
Oh,
see,
no.
Oh, that's terrible.
When are you gonna point at?
Oh,
what were you working on?
I don't even know where this thing is. Here we go.
Doing our the annual show of Dead People We Like.
there's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
There you go.
That's terrible.
What Chris said, or the fact that you weren't, but now it's part of the lexicon.
Okay.
And we don't have time for dead people we don't like. Okay, I'm gonna butcher this, and I feel bad, so I apologize. But it's a Swedish filmmaker, Malik Benjul.
Okay,
Benjulu, who passed away Tuesday at the age of 36. Reports are that it was suicide. Malik, of course, won an Academy Award last year for the documentary Searching for Sugar Man.
Oh, yes. I saw this.
Yes. So, anyway, if you've not seen Searching for Sugar Man, do so. I had a frustrating moment at the house. I have an old enough Blu-ray player that certain disc won't play, or if it does, it takes for flipping ever for it to load. And sometimes it just gets stuck, and that is one of those. Anyway, really cool documentary, of course, about Sixto Rodriguez, who had a couple of albums recorded in the States, went nowhere, and then became a huge hit and symbol of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. And later in life and career, he received a lot of notoriety and fame. The film does gloss over the fact that he was already popular in Australia, but that's not the first time that's happened with a documentary. Okay, artist H.R. Geiger passed away at the age of 74. Kobe, I don't know if you've seen his work. This is the guy. This is the gentleman.
I think I know the name.
This is the gentleman who created the title character to the 1979 film Alien.
Oh,
that look. So that look is because of Mr. Geiger. And it was interesting because he was in conversation a couple weeks ago because he was also a subject, an interview subject in the documentary Jodorowsky's Dune. He was going to be the visual effects artist, sculptor or set designer, I believe, for that film. So yeah, that whole long head and scaly thing, yeah, that makes your skin crawl. You can thank HR for that. So worked on, among other things, also created designs for Alien 3 as well as Prometheus, which all kind of looks...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very look.
Yep.
For you rock fans, if you go to IMDb, could you go to IMDb? I want to make sure I'm not missing any. It's H-R G-I-G-E-R. But he also did the album. He also did album covers, most notably Deborah Harry's album Cuckoo, probably the most famous. He did the 1973 Emerson, Lake & Palmer album cover Brain Salad Surgery with the skull.
Don't know it.
You're not an ELP guy.
No, I'm not an ELP guy.
Not a real big ELP guy. We'll look it up after the show. You'll recognize
it. Okay.
Even if we don't know what it is. You on HD, IMDb?
Yeah.
Okay, what other films of note?
Let's see. We got a video game here. Aliens, Predator, Requiem.
Everything alien-oriented? Yeah. Anyway, he was a fun interview in the film. Not somebody you want to time to share a condo with, but but pretty funny nonetheless. And then finally, Canadian author Farley Mowat died at the age of 92, and he's most known for his 1963 book Never Cry Wolf, which was about a biologist on a solo mission to study Arctic wolves in northern Canada. This was made into a film in 1983 starring Charles Martin Smith, also of American Graffiti fame. Brian Dennehy was in it, and it was for the most part a one-man show of him living amongst the wolves. He ends up slightly better than Timothy Treadwell. Also of note, in case anybody asked, a nude scene from Charles Martin Smith. You're welcome. It's still a well-made and fascinating film of man and nature. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
See, you got that one at least.
Got it.
So I'm going to go and flick the room on some people. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to the Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We go home. Good night, California. Good night, Fort Myers. We'll see you tomorrow.